C.J. Stroud sat down with Andrew Siciliano via Zoom earlier this week and was asked for a prediction on the Ohio State-Texas game, which is the biggest game this week. It might end up being the biggest regular season game of the year when it's all said and done. Here was C.J. Stroud's prediction for this game.
What's it like being a Buckeye in Texas this week?
I'm accepting all the smoke. Anybody need? Well, you know, here in Houston, it's more Aggie land. So,
right.
You know, I have a lot of Aggies surrounding me, but there's a couple of UT guys. I have buddies who are UT guys, and I don't know if I have any teammates that went to UT. I don't have a coach, but it's a couple harsh words and a little bit of back and forth, but it'll be fun.
You going? We going to see you on the sideline?
You might see me, maybe.
Oh, okay.
So, Rod Wright obviously went to Texas. I'm trying to think of if there's somebody else on.
Well, David Mulligetta, I think, went to Texas. His agent.
Oh, okay. That's right. No, he did. Yeah, yeah. He was 100%. That's because he started with Earl Thomas, was his first friend and client, I believe.
I'm guessing that's who he has in mind more than anybody.
Well, he said a teammate, or he said a coach. He said, I have a coach on the team.
Oh, okay. I thought he said people he knew. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, no, Mulligetta.
So, but Rod Wright, and maybe, I don't know if one of the offensive coaches are. So, Texas, and that is, by the numbers, yeah, Houston's, they're more Aggie alum. They're more Aggies than UT alum.
Yeah, I think
Houston,
he was
it's not
saying
like
that.
There's none.
No, yeah. I think he was saying that just more off of feel. Like, you know, it feels like more of an Aggie. There were some Longhorns that took exception to that. I'll say that. It's a big shock, you know.
I think by numbers, though, there are simply more Aggies than Longhorns in Houston.
I don't know.
But it's not like it's a small number of Longhorns.
Right,
obviously.
Right. And I said that he was going to give his prediction in there. Obviously, he didn't, but I'm guessing he's picking Ohio State. C.J. Stroud, if I had to guess.
I'll take his money.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take all that money.
Well, I tell you what, talking to Rob Stone yesterday and asking about, you know, Arch Manning, and as we go through the stuff that we're looking forward to this weekend for college football, I'll start there. The Texas-Ohio State game, which, by the way, we'll be watching at Boomer Jacks out in Katy for our Flight by Yingling College Football Watch Party. Join us out there. The debut of Arch Manning is big, but when we talked to Rob Stone yesterday, the host of Big Noon Saturday, I didn't realize that Ohio State had so little returning. Now, I'm guessing they've dipped into the transfer portal and that by name, they're only bringing back three guys on offense and three guys on defense.
Yeah.
But in past years, when those have been the numbers, it means you're breaking in a lot of freshmen and sophomores probably, or guys who haven't played a lot of football. Nowadays, it just means you're breaking in a lot of guys who haven't played football for Ohio State. They've played somewhere else, I would imagine. So,
yeah. But it's still different continuity. I mean, Texas is,
I'm still taking Texas just to
right.
Be clear.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas, I think a lot of it, like what was the number? It was like 40% of, they're only bringing back 40% of their offensive production from last year on offense. Texas
is
the University of Texas is. And yet like Sarkisian has built a pretty damn good system there offensively and defensively, but you are, and a lot of it is, I have a hard time, even though I think Arch Manning is probably going to be really good this year, I have a hard time just having the same level of confidence I see from various people talking about how, well, obviously, with Arch Manning, you take that offense and you've got Arch Manning, obviously, it's going to be just as good or better. I'm a little bit in a little bit more wait-and-see mode on that one.
Yep, I am too. The people that are anointing him first pick of the draft, he's the favorite for the Heisman right now. Has there ever been a favorite for the Heisman that's only thrown 93 passes in college football?
I know. Well, at least part of it is, though, you're also, he is that prospect and he has that potential, but you're also dropping him onto this offense that it's the rushing attack I would expect to be similar to what it was last year. The level of difficulty for Arch Manning is not nearly what it is for a lot of other young prospects or guys like him, you know, stepping onto
the college field. Yeah, no doubt about that. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Colorado is still one of the most intriguing teams to me, at least early in the season, Seth, because this will be the first game with Coach Prime, with life after Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. This is where Coach Prime really kind of, we get to see what his chops are as a college football coach in 2025, because he's now having to start a quarterback that's not his kid. He's replacing a Heisman Trophy winner. He, too, has dipped heavily into the transfer portal to build things.
Mm-hmm.
It's felt like Colorado the last 2 years has been this three-headed thing of Deion, Shedeur, and Travis Hunter. And this is going to feel a little strange with just Coach Prime out there tonight.
Georgia, and it could be one of those things where it could be addition by subtraction and then not leaning so heavily into – a star player like Travis Hunter.
Maybe.
And then also maybe having a quarterback that doesn't take so many sacks or try to just string things out, maybe plays
as far as we know. I don't know anything about their quarterback. Maybe this guy's the same way.
Well, yeah, I was surprised that what's the line on this? Georgia Tech is favored,
they're
right?
favored, according to the app that I'm looking at right now, they're favored by 4.5 on the road.
Most of the computer models are picking Colorado in this game.
Sounds like you need to get in on some of that action, my friend.
I guess I do.
Yeah.
I trust the computer, my overlord, and tells to tell me everything that I should do in life. If you're an algorithm, by all means, yes, I'll do whatever you tell me to
do. Do it, Seth. I'm gonna lock it in, Ben. Yeah. Yeah. Seth, go pound that. Go pound Colorado plus 4.5.
Yeah, plus 4.5. According to the College Football Power Index, out of 20,000 games played, Colorado comes ahead, wins the game 52.7% of the time.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're being a little bit kind of jokey about this. That is, although you and I were talking about this before the break, like, okay, computers, that's all well and good. Like, you, like everybody else, know nothing about this quarterback and what they look like with Pat Shurmur calling the plays.
The betting public is pretty heavily going for Georgia Tech in this one.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how much of just Dion fatigue or Colorado fatigue or just people wanting to get the Colorado or Dion to get their comeuppance.
Betting it up.
Dion or something.
Yeah.
Like in their minds, like, oh, yeah, Dion, you were wrong about where your son was going to get drafted. What the hell do you know?
Right. No, it sounds weird to say this. Colorado is Colorado's a very public team. You know, I guess they get a lot of action because of Coach Prime. Texter pointing out real quick, Seth, on the CJ thing. And you're right. He probably did say, Coach, if Rod Wright and Frank Okam is a UT guy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Okam's the assistant D-line coach.
D-line is all about the long run.
They are, man. Yeah, they are. Other games I'm looking forward to. Alabama, number 8 in the country at Florida State. Florida State was awful last year, coming off the year where they felt like they got jilted out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They complained about it. Then nobody played for them in that Georgia game, and Georgia beat the brakes off of them like 60-7. And that feels like a program that didn't recover from a beating in a major bowl game that whole season last year. It was so bad.
I feel bad for Travis Johnson because Travis takes these things very, you know, he's got a lot of pride in his alma mater.
Yeah.
But then just on social media, the meltdown by, I don't know why, I know why it comes across my algorithm or my timeline because I just enjoy it. But man, you're talking about a proud football program where their fans are just, they're in a constant rage over how did we get to here?
Yeah.
Like how did we get to be in this wretched state of affairs?
I don't feel too bad for Travis. He seemed to be okay with how life was going last night at the Texans season premiere. He was doing just fine. Well, they gave him a mic at one point, and they had him doing some game where he was walking around the room to different tables, handing out prizes. I don't know exactly what he was doing because I wasn't paying close attention. I just know that after each prize, everybody in the room was putting up their drinks and cheersing and, you know, taking drinks. You know, Travis was basically playing a drinking game, walking around the room.
I like it when we get Travis on the pregame show after he's judged the tailgate.
That's the best.
Because he is ready to go.
Yes.
He is warmed up and he's ready to say anything and everything.
And then ask him about Florida State. Especially if Florida State lost the night before, then it's good. LSU and Clemson, two top 10 teams. I am looking forward to Brian Kelly starting 0-1 again this year. I think that would be delightful. They're going to Clemson. I'll say this. Kudos to all these programs that are playing these early season games like this.
Yeah,
number
like
nine against number
yeah, like
four.
Games that matter and early, like without a warm-up game or anything like that.
Yeah, man. I think it's great. Miami and Notre Dame play on Sunday night, so I get to wear my Catholics versus Convicts t-shirt while I sit on the couch and watch that one and prepare for our show the next day. Seth and I will be in on Labor Day.
What's the line on that game?
That is Notre Dame -2.5. The game is in Miami.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's favored by 2.5. This will be the debut of Carson Beck's punchable face for the Miami Hurricanes.
How many years has he been in college now?
18.
Every time I see a Carson Beck update, I have to remind myself. No, I would say there was maybe a 2-week period where I thought the Dolphins had signed him as an undrafted free agent or something.
Okay, because I thought he could have gone pro like after last year, like as a junior. Are you sure?
I don't know. It feels like I.
Are you conflating him with Stetson Bennett, who was at Georgia for 6 years?
No, a little bit, but there's also, I think with Carson Beck, there's been an element of, I just get annoyed by guys that get more played by media just because they're a quarterback or more credit than they deserve. So it just, it fatigues me.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's a Stetson, it's a combined Stetson Bennett slash Carson Beck thing.
Yeah, yeah. Monday we get the debut of Jordan Hudson at the collegiate level, Seth, when TCU travels to Chapel Hill to take on North Carolina. Jordan Hudson is Bill Belichick's girlfriend. How much does she get talked about? I bet some lines will come out on that. Like, how much does she get mentioned during the broadcast?
Mm-hmm.
How much is her name mentioned? Do they show her? Will she be shown on camera at the game? I think she has to be, right? Like, she's a pretty big storyline.
Real quick, just, I mean, his freshman year was 2020. So Carson Beck's was. So he's in his sixth year of college football.
Okay.
Unless he showed up in spring or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's been around a long time.
No, with that face, it feels like he's been around for 20 years. For sure. Yeah. For sure. So I'm looking forward to I'm really looking forward to watching North Carolina, not just Monday, but the entire season this year.
I wish the Jordan Hudson stuff didn't exist, because the actual football side of it, I think, is really interesting.
Yeah.
I think that if you break it down, let's forget all of the Jordan Hudson stuff and the young girlfriend and everything and any of that kind of drama. You've got an all-time great coach who is coaching at a program that naturally has some restrictor plates on it because it's an academically competitive institution. They don't have the same recruiting ability as a lot of other places. And like, what's their ceiling and what can Bill Belichick do it and how quickly in this new environment? It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I still respect Belichick for taking that job, because I know people thought, oh, there's no way he would stoop down for anything less than a marquee program or whatever, or if he would go to college at all. I think he just wants to coach football. So I respect that he's doing that. I wish it was without all this extra hoopla, but I'm intrigued by UNC this year.
If that's what you're intrigued by, I think as long as you can ignore the Jordan Hudson stuff, I think you'll get fed plenty to satisfy you on the football front with Belichick. All right, Payne and Pendergast. We're going to talk a little Micah Parsons trade in the next segment. I am very curious the view of this trade in Dallas. I don't think this was as lopsided as all these Dallas fans basically conducting a mutiny after the Luka Doncic trade. The Micah Parsons trade yesterday, we're going to talk to Zach Woolchuk, who is one of the hosts on the afternoon show, G-Bag Nation, on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And we'll get the view on the ground in Dallas in that trade yesterday. What was it like being on the air when the trade went down? We'll talk to Zach Woolchuk about that coming up next.